hormones behind your weight gain.
So hidden hormones behind your weight gain. Interesting.
So you have several hormones that come from the hypothalamus, and then they act on the pituitary gland. It can regulate your electrolyte levels. It can regulate your blood pressure, your volume status. The main takeaway is that hormones are important for a lot of different functions.
Since I have an expert, what are hormones?
With a little health and a little wealth and a lot of love, that's the life that we live. Suits and Scrubs.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Suits and Scrubs. A little health,
a little wealth,
and a lot of love. We're getting a lot better at that, guys. All right, so this is episode 7, so we are getting a lot better. You know, the first episode, you guys will not believe it took us an hour to get past the intro.
It's like the little engine that could.
Yes, but I told Em, like, she was a little defeated, but I was like, you know what, we're just gonna get better the more you do it. All right, so today's episode is titled The Hidden Hormones Behind Your Weight Gain. Can hormones impact your weight gain?
That's a very controversial question, but I am here to say it can. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
So I guess people don't need to watch the rest of the episode.
They do.
Oh, they do.
If they want to know the specifics.
Absolutely. So, okay. Yes, I know I say absolutely a lot, but it's just part of who I am. With me is Emily, MD. She is double board certified in internal and obesity medicine. She is exploring her functional and aesthetics licenses. Did I say that right?
Certifications.
Certifications. My apologies. So she's continuing her education to take on this journey. As you guys know, she quit her job. Our first episode is Where Have All the Good Doctors Gone? And we're just going to provide as much quality information as we can. And so, fun fact about Emily, if you're not watching us on YouTube or follow us on TikTok, Instagram, SuitsAndScrubsPodcast.com is our website. But our TikTok is SuitsAndScrubsPodcast. Emily looks absolutely stunning. And fun fact about her right now, guys, I don't know if this is a trend, but she just turned this shirt from a scarf. So she's wearing a scarf. And if you're not watching on YouTube, you need to be, because I would be watching on YouTube. Not for me, but for her.
Definitely expands the wardrobe. Got lots of other shirt options.
Oh, wow. So this might be a new thing, but yeah. Okay, well, turn it to you, Em.
So I'm just going to give a little shout out to my co-host for those who might not know who he is. If you haven't watched our first 6 episodes, this is Zachary SVP, who is our finance guru. He has a lot of experience in the financial realm. He works in the corporate finance sector, has managed over $1 billion to date. And he has also met his Coast Fire number, which, if you don't know what that is, you'll have to watch some of our other or previous wealth episodes. But today we are talking about health, not wealth. And so he is going to be our MC for the day. Take it away.
I will take it away. How about that? Take it away. How about that? All right, guys. So if you have been listening to us, here's a side story. So me and Emily have decided to move forward with IVF more as an insurance. We talked about this in the last few episodes where her mom hit early menopause by the time she's 35. Emily's 35 now. I know, she don't look 35. So the last episode, if you did not catch it, you know, in 3 or 4 words or less, Ninja Turtles, Nut and Cup, which was the male's, yes, the male's perspective of IVF. So definitely, if you don't watch our episodes, you guys got to check that out. That was actually pretty hilarious. Anyway, so where are we in our IVF journey?
We're still waiting on some feedback. So we opted to have our embryos biopsied, basically to tell us whether or not they would be viable. So you can have a lot of different options. They can have the right number of chromosomes. They can have an abnormal number of chromosomes, and that can either mean that they won't be viable at all. And that's the biggest thing, is that you wouldn't want to go through the process of placing an embryo if from the beginning it's just not going to be able to be viable. So we're still waiting to hear feedback on what the biopsy results show.
I actually have a question. Do you know a doctor? I'm just kidding. So from an IVF standpoint, do we have to do genetic testing every single time, or is it just one time?
You don't have to. The choice to do genetic testing is an individualized one. So for us, you know, we had a limited number of embryos, and those embryos would be the ones that we would want to, you know, obviously implant and turn into our babies. And so if we know from the beginning that those embryos would never turn into a baby if they don't have the right gene makeup, then it gives you that opportunity, or it gives you that knowledge that you need to do another round of, you know, of egg harvesting.
Does it hurt the embryo when you do genetic testing? Is it no longer viable if you do that?
No, the risk is minimal. It's an added diagnostic test to see kind of where you are, if you need to do more rounds of hormones and IVF, or if you come out with a certain number of embryos that are all genetically viable, then your chances are really good. And so you probably don't need more of an insurance plan.
Got it. So if we do another round of IVF, do we have to do the genetic testing again?
I mean, it depends on what our numbers show. I think it would be a smart idea, just because if you are older, so I'm 35, if you're in your mid to late 30s, then there's a higher chance of having genetic abnormalities. Right. And so sometimes it's a good idea just because it'll save you some heartbreak and maybe some extra time down the road.
Yeah, but I would say, though, this is health and wealth, Susan Scrubs. It's not cheap.
It's not.
$3,000.
And honestly, that part is not covered by insurance.
Yeah, it's not.
Not ours, at least. Some insurances might cover it.
Right.
It wasn't covered by ours. So that was an out-of-pocket cost.
I think it's like $3,000 or something. Hopefully.
For the genetic testing, it was closer to probably $1,000 after everything was said and done. Okay.
Well, I'm forgetting the receipts. Everything's adding up. It's not cheap. But guys, this is a wealth hack. I know it's a health episode. We front loaded our HSA this year because we knew that we were going to spend money on this. So I'm not a big fan of this normally, but I took money out of my emergency fund and I moved it into the HSA based upon our forecasting of how much it costs. And believe it or not, Emily actually did the forecasting. I was really impressed. You work with the financial person to do that. Again, this is a perfect health and wealth topic. Yeah, but we front loaded that so that way we can take advantage. And another hack, this is not illegal. We're actually paying for it from my credit cards because my credit card has really substantial reward points. And then we're submitting that through our HSA. So we're getting the reward points, but also HSA is refunding or paying us back. And so I'm going
off the credit card. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I have really high travel points on my card. I'm going to Japan and Korea, and it's getting me there closer without paying out of pocket. Anything else you want to say about IVF?
Nice little wealth segue.
Yeah, a little bit. That's what we're doing. That's what we're here for, right? Health and wealth. They do intertwine.
They do,
right?
Quite a bit. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So that takes us to our first segment, which is Under the Microscope.
Under the Microscope.
In this segment, we take a deep dive into medical studies
and financial reports and break them down in layman's terms.
So I know what hormones are from an average perspective, but since I have an expert, what are hormones?
So I think a lot of people think of hormones in the like sex hormone sense. So they think of hormones more as estrogen and testosterone, sometimes progesterone. You know, they think of it in that way.
What's progesterone?
It's another like female, or okay. I mean, overall or a generalization is that it's a female.
Let's
sex
just pause.
Hormone.
If you know what progesterone is. drop us a comment because I don't know what the heck that is.
You're probably a female or...
Oh, okay.
In the health
No, in I'm the not a female. Sector. Last time I checked. No, but honestly, I never heard of that. So, yeah.
So those are kind of what people think of when they think of hormones, but there are a whole slew of other hormones that are working in the body to help with functioning with bodily systems. And so really to kind of simplify what a hormone is, it's kind of a messenger molecule. So it's a chemical substance in your body that relays messages and enacts actions on a cell or whatever is receiving that message.
Give an example.
So for example, estrogen or, you know, luteinizing hormone or certain types of hormones, they act on different.
What is luteinizing hormone?
So I'll kind of go at the top. So
okay,
you've got,
please.
So you have,
by the way, guys, this is why we do Health and Wealth. And we purposely develop these scripts. We develop these episodes. We don't showcase what we're talking about. I'm really the average person and I don't know this, and vice versa. So hopefully it's helpful to you guys. So I'm going to ask questions that I, you know, go.
So hormones in general can be very, I mean, just the idea of them and how they function can be very complex. Initially, it was thought to be just certain glands in our bodies, like the adrenal glands or the pituitary gland or the pancreas. Those are main kind of endocrine or hormone producing organs. But now we're finding that there are a lot of different organs that secrete hormones, and that hormones can be, you know, passed from one area to another in different ways than what we thought before. But if you kind of simplify it a little bit, you talk about at the brain level, you have a part of your brain called the hypothalamus, and it secretes hormones and it affects the pituitary gland.
We talked about hypothalamus last episode.
We did.
Ooh.
It's the hypothalamus is very important in basically maintaining homeostasis, so maintaining balance within your body. And there are several different areas that affect several different processes. It can be very complex, but if you think about hormones, so you have several hormones that come from the hypothalamus, and then they act on the pituitary gland, which is another gland kind of up around your brain. And then those hormones are then circulated and they affect other organs like the adrenal glands or the kidneys.
The adrenal glands.
So they're like little hats that sit on top of your kidneys is kind of how you can think about them.
Got it. Okay.
And your adrenal glands, you know, they are where your cortisol is produced.
Now, I've heard of the word cortisol. I always associate it with fat. Is that right?
We'll talk about it more in this episode, okay, for sure. Yeah,
we're getting kind of deep, but no, I want to.
But yeah, but so you have certain hormones, and when we talk about sex hormones in general, so you have FSH and LH are two different hormones that come from your pituitary gland, and they act on your ovaries or sometimes on your testicles. So there's always this, you can kind of think of them as just little messengers that take, you know, they take information from one area to the next area.
What information are they transmitting though? Or maybe it's not transmitting is the right word, but taking.
So it happens sometimes it's not necessarily the how much of the hormone or the level of the hormone, but kind of the how, you know, the pulsatility or the another word? I guess the frequency that a hormone is produced. So like you're a type of hormone that you produce in your hypothalamus, depending on how quickly those pulses interact will determine like how much of your LH or your FSH of that next hormone down the line is going to be produced. And then those hormones will go to, you know, your ovaries or your testes. And they will say specifically for females, you know, those hormones will determine when you start to create follicles in your ovaries or when you'll release the egg that was created in those follicles. So it's very complex, and I'm trying to simplify it in this episode, but the main takeaway is that hormones are important for a lot of different functions, a lot of different systemic functions, and they can.
Now, I get, I mean to interrupt you, mm-hmm. but like, I think a lot of people understand the sex hormones and, you know, how it goes to testes. And or I think a lot of people do understand that.
Yeah.
But what other things do hormones do outside of that? Just give me an example of that. And we can move on, but I know because a lot we got to talk about a lot today. But I'm really interested. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, other examples, and I'm mentioning these because we're not going to be talking about them as much later in the episode, but like, electrolyte balance or kind of volume or blood pressure balance. There are hormones that are secreted that either act on the kidney or secreted by the kidney that can impact, you know, how your blood vessels react, how it impacts your blood pressure, how it impacts how much sodium or potassium, primarily sodium is in your blood. So it can regulate your electrolyte levels. It can regulate your blood pressure, your volume status.
Now, blood pressure, I understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I know what electrolytes are. You know, you drink Gatorade for that, you know, or whatever. That's what they say. You know, mm-hmm. And by the way, we're not sponsored by Gatorade. Obviously not. And then you said levels. I don't understand. What does electrolytes and levels do for you? And how does hormones impact that?
So a lot of times electrolytes are important in kind of cell-to-cell interaction, and they can impact like electrical channels through cells. And it's kind of, I mean, you kind of get into the weeds a little bit with electrolytes, but they're important for, you know, the biggest thing is cardiovascular function. So if your electrolytes are really low, it can impact the electrical signals or conduction through the heart. You know, we know that certain electrolytes are really important for a lot of biochemical processes like magnesium. You know, calcium is really important for not only those kind of electrical systems or those signals, but also for bone health. And so these electrolytes are basically just charged, you know, charged chloride or charged sodium or potassium that are circulating through the blood that a lot of our cells need for basic functions. And so it's important to be able to regulate those, to be able to just have normal cellular functions.
Got it. I did not realize hormones impact electrolytes and all the other stuff, which I guess ties back into our episode title, which is?
Hidden hormones behind your weight gain.
So hidden hormones behind your weight gain. Interesting.
And my goal for this episode, I feel like a lot of people are going to get kind of lost with a lot of that. Like, I'm trying not to go too deep into the biochemistry behind it all, except for some of the specifics that I think are relevant with some of these hormones that can impact your weight.
Right. And again, so the purpose of the segment is to deep dive into what hormones are. You know, again, a lot of people are very familiar with hormones at, you know, the sex hormones, but there's other hormones in your body, which I didn't know until this episode. I'm going to be honest. I really didn't know that. So yeah.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that came into my office that they hear a lot of information online. They watch a lot of videos, you know, YouTube videos or TikTok videos, and they come in and they're like, I think I need to get my hormones checked because I just don't feel right.
Right.
But they don't know what that means or which hormones that they want checked or the implications or if those hormones come back abnormal. It's just like, I don't feel good. And that's something that I think a lot of us can relate to, that 100%. Like there's something going on. I don't know what's going on, but I just don't feel like myself.
I'm stressed. And the thing is, like, I know everything works together, right? Health works together. And so I won't get into my soapbox, but, newsbreak. Out of all the episodes that we've done so far, this is the one episode I'm the most excited about because it is so hot right now. And people like my age, this is something that my friends talk about. And now I'm not going to divulge too much information, but some of my friends are getting hormones off the black market, which I know we'll talk about that in a second. I know that's not safe. Some people are getting hormones to their doctors. Some people are going to T clinics and estrogen clinics and things of that nature. So we will get into that in a little bit in this episode. But I think it's really important to know that the first part of the segment was talking about hormones in its entirety. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably do more episodes on this. If you guys are interested, I will say this. We are more archaeologists. These are our interests in what's popular and trending. So we do research here. Eventually, you guys will tell us what you want us to talk about. And we'll do research on that. Okay. So moving over, so Emily did say about quality information and where people are getting from. So we have one of our favorite segments, which is Refactions.
Refactions! In this segment, we'll be reacting
and fact-checking
on viral content. Get it?
Refactions!
So we're going to play a video, a YouTube short from Dr. Mike around hormones don't matter for weight. So I'm going to play this and Emily's going to dissect it.
A high consumption of ultra tasty hyperpalatable food, mostly in the category of junk food, drives calories into a surplus for people over days and weeks and months and years, and they get much fatter. Hormones up, hormones down, doesn't matter. You eat tons of junk food, you get into caloric surplus, you will gain fat in almost every case. Your hormonal status is not really pertinent to that in almost any meaningful extent. Bodybuilders take loads of hormones, the non-drug tested ones, of course. But what do they do to get their leanest? They don't just take hormones. That has absolutely a very big effect on what they look. But the biggest effect is diet.
That's a lot to unpack. And if you guys are not watching us on YouTube or Shorts or TikTok or Reels, Emily shook her head. So I'm sure she had a lot to say about this. So what is your refaction?
So this is an exercise physiologist. He has a PhD, I think, in exercise physiology or something along those lines. And so
shout out to you guys. We're not undermining you.
No, and I think that there's a lot to be said about that. Obviously, one of the biggest problems is in our country is that we are eating ultra processed foods in abundance and we are sedentary. And obviously that calorie balance is important, but to make the gross generalization that there's no impact of hormones on weight gain or weight loss or muscle gain, muscle loss, I think is a generalization that you can't really make. I think maybe in the general public, you can sometimes make that statement, but even then I think it goes away from my kind of functional medicine perspective of things, that the patient is an individual and you have to consider all of the things that are impacting weight gain or weight loss because everybody's different. And to say that hormonal imbalance, especially for females, is not something that impacts your ability to lose weight or gain muscle, I think is an incorrect assumption.
Yeah, especially when a man is saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big fan of this. Men should not tell women how they should drive or impact their bodies. And what I'm hearing, if I play that back to you, generalizations are never really a safe thing.
Yeah, I don't like generalizations in medicine at all.
You don't. In fact, Emily is a big believer of trust but verify. In fact, in our own relationship, if I tell her I do something, she'll go behind me and verify that I did it. And that's not an Emily thing.
maybe I have trust issues, but it's,
great.
But it's the first thing that we learn in medical school is trust but verify, because you have all of these journal articles and all of these claims that this is something that is clinically relevant, but is it really clinically relevant?
Right,
and who's paying for this study?
Exactly.
And what's the data behind it? Is it statistically significant? Is it not? You know, what are the confounding factors? There's so much that goes into research.
Yeah, and honestly, this is why Susan's Gross podcast was created, because there is so much information out there. Mm-hmm. There's so much just, especially on this topic specifically, and we want to allow you guys to have access to quality information. Emily went to med school for 4 years. She went to residency for 3. She's a practitioner for 2 years.
Three.
3 years, excuse me. She is double board and also pursuing her other. So she has a lot of education. But you know, education's great, but if you push that aside, she has a lot of practical experience, what her patients are asking. So I tell you guys this, this is where you want to come for quality information. In fact, for this specific episode, Emily has done 10 hours of research and scripting on this. Number one, it's one of her passions. And number two, there's a lot of the stuff out there. Like you have an MD going out there, you know, excavating information and fact-checking and making sure it's quality. So yeah. Well, anything else you want to say on that?
I mean, I think we're in this era where there's so much access to information and there are so many professionals that have...
She just did air quotes, guys.
that have different opinions. And even within the medical field, you have traditionalists, you have functional medicine specialists, you have some integrative specialists that kind of combine the two. You've got chiropractors, you have, you know, physical therapists, you have athletic trainers, you've got nutritionists. I mean, there's so many opinions out there.
That's right.
And there's only so much evidence, but even that evidence you kind of have to apply practically because we don't live in a silo. There are people who are going to have issues with compliance. There are going to be people who have had, you know, trauma in their lives that, you know, that respond to medications differently or respond to concepts or kind of motivational interviewing whenever you talk to patients and they come into the office. So we really need to move into more of an individualized approach. And I think we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail with these hormones.
Yeah. Yeah. So what hormones should we be thinking about when we are having issues with our weight, mood, and energy?
So we talked about the big ones, more of the sex hormones. So you've got, you know, your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone. You know, I think touched on cortisol, which a lot of us know is the stress hormone. Mm. And those can all play a role, but unless you have done some research on obesity or unless you have a biology or biochemical background, or medicine background, you probably haven't heard a whole lot about leptin and ghrelin, which are other hormones that can impact not only your appetite, but also your metabolism. You know, there's also the thyroid hormone, which a lot of people have heard of, but might not know kind of the specifics and how that impacts their weight.
So what is leptin and what was the other one?
Leptin and ghrelin.
Yeah, what is that?
So we'll go into it a little bit. I'll give you kind of a breakdown.
She is teasing you guys. She is baiting y'all. She has hooked that worm and threw it into the water, and she's pulling up.
So I'm just starting with giving you the names, just so you can marinate in the names a little bit to know which ones have been studied.
What are we, a juicy steak?
Yes.
Okay. I'll marinate.
This is a juicy steak episode. So
I will marinate.
Marinade in the hormones right now,
okay.
The names of the hormones. So we've got estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, ghrelin, leptin, and then cortisol, which we talked about. Insulin, obviously a lot of us know about. We talk about insulin resistance.
Insulin was a hormone.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. And maybe I'm a dummy, but like I know our type 2 diabetes or diabetes patients, mm-hmm. or listeners know exactly that's a hormone. I did not know that's a
hormone. Or they might not necessarily know that it's a hormone. They just know that it's impacted in their disease process or in their medication regimen. But insulin is one. And something that I found interesting that I've, you know, by doing some obesity medicine research, but also listening to some of my kind of virtual mentors, like Anna Kabeka, who is a OBGYN, who has transitioned more into functional medicine. So she talks about oxytocin as another potential hormone that's important for weight management.
Yeah. You're throwing a lot at the listeners. So about two hormones I know about two or three I just learned about in our opening segments.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to start with all this?
So we can start with kind of discussing how these individual hormones impact weight loss or weight gain. And we can start with the ones that we measure most commonly in traditional medicine. And then we can kind of go into some of the others that people might not be as familiar with.
Yeah. And by the end of this episode, guys, if you're lost like I am, I will try to summarize that. So hopefully Emily's putting on her little white coat and her little glasses, and she's teaching me something, a thing or two about hormones. Okay. So tell us more about how hormones contribute to weight gain or weight loss.
So we can start with what I kind of consider as the main hormone drivers and
the main course.
Yeah.
So the juicy steak of the episode.
Yes.
We'll get in the sides. Like, you know, it ain't nothing better than baked potato and some, I think, asparagus is what I like as a side. okay. All right. Get with the main course.
So we'll get with the main course. So I talked about leptin and ghrelin, and I think.
I still don't know what that is.
Yeah. I think those are, they're very important because we talked about the hypothalamus earlier in the episode, but your hypothalamus is a part of your brain that impacts balance or homeostasis for a lot of different processes. And one of those processes.
Now what's homeostasis again?
You can just consider it as a balance.
Okay.
So, you know, regulating temperature, regulating your metabolism.
Got it.
It definitely simplifies what the hypothalamus does, but two hormones that act on that center are ghrelin and leptin. And so ghrelin is something primarily produced by the stomach, and it is considered the hunger hormone.
So, you know, it's funny when you say ghrelin. I just think about Aunt Ghrelin. Hey, Aunt Ghrelin. You know, I don't know. That's where my mind goes. So Aunt Ghrelin is in your stomach.
Yeah. I mean, the way that I think about it and the way that I always studied for tests to remember what ghrelin was
that Hansel and Gretel?
No.
Because, you know, Hansel and Gretel, they go and they eat all the little, the house of the, you know. And eat, and it's in your stomach. That's
another way to remember it.
Yeah.
But to me, I think about like grr, like your stomach's growling because
I like ghrelin. Hansel and Gretel better.
Because your stomach is growling because you're hungry. And so ghrelin, it's your hunger hormone. It increases hunger, and it also slows your metabolism. And so you can just think about it in that way. The ghrelin is the hunger hormone. And so if you're trying to lose weight, increased levels of ghrelin is probably not your best hormone to help you with that.
Gotcha. And then we'll talk about that later about balancing your hormones. So we'll just put a pin in that. So you're just defining these. Okay. And what was the other one?
And then leptin.
Leptin. Now, leptin reminds me of leptin. There was a commercial on TV that had this woman with big old eyes. She was staring to the camera and she was saying it was $250 a bottle. And she says, if you want to lose weight, you need leptin. You do know what I'm talking about? Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking
If you guys know
what
I'm talking about, drop comments because I swear I'm not the only one because I really think my parents were all. And it was $250 a bottle. And then the whole advertising was, if you really want to lose weight, would you spend $250 a bottle? Well, guess what? It works. That's why you would. I'm like, dang. Okay.
We'll have to look that up. We'll have to fact check that one.
I swear to y'all, that was on TV. I was like, dang. Anyway, go ahead.
So leptin is your satiety hormone. So it basically...
I don't even know what satiety is.
So if you're satiated, you're satisfied after you eat. So you're not hungry. So it's a satiety hormone that decreases hunger and it actually also increases energy expenditure. So it increases your metabolism.
Interesting.
And so leptin, when I said ghrelin is primarily produced by a part of the stomach... Leptin is actually something that our fat cells or our adipose tissue is going to release. And so it makes sense because if you have more fat cells, then that leptin is going to go back to your brain and say, I have plenty of fat storage. I don't need any more food. Don't make me hungry and speed up my metabolism because I need to burn some of this off. So it makes sense that hormone comes from fat cells or fat tissue.
So it's all in fat, just in case people don't know, it's stored in your cells.
Mm-hmm. In certain types of cells, yeah.
Got it.
And so if you have high levels of leptin, something that we see in people who are obese, we actually see leptin resistance, which we see with insulin resistance too. So you have really high levels of this hormone, but for whatever reason, your receptors or the endpoint where these hormones are trying to relay their information, it's just not receiving that information. It's not responding to that information. If that makes sense.
I'm sorry, leptin was what again? It was
the satiety hormone.
The satiate.
Yes. So I'm not hungry anymore.
Got it.
And I'm going to speed up my metabolism because I've got excess fat stores.
Yeah. I was watching this TikTok the other day and someone was saying something that they honor their hunger cues. So if they have higher levels of leptin, that means they are always hungry.
No.
Or they have resistance to being satiated.
So people who are obese tend to have higher levels of leptin, but the leptin is just not, I guess, efficient at conveying that information.
Gotcha.
So there's maybe a receptor problem.
Gotcha. So hormones could really impact, you know, your weight.
Yes.
Based upon just
And those
that.
Are just two of them. And, yeah. you know, and I spend more time talking about those because a lot of people aren't really aware of them or know, I've never heard of them, but
Hansel and Gretel.
My stomach's growling. I'm hungry. Growling.
So actually it can be both guys. So Hansel and Gretel. Let us know if you like Hansel and Gretel better or I like Hansel and Gretel better. Okay. So how do we know if our hormones are imbalanced?
So,
well, before I ask this question, I know I just asked it, but I'm going to make a statement. If my doctor's listening, turn off. But when I asked to check my hormones, he kind of rolled his eyes a little bit. Because I guarantee you, again, guys, this is really hot and trending topic. I don't know if you had the same reaction. I was like, you know what? I want to check my hormones. He kind of rolled his eyes, and I never brought it up again. I probably should get it checked because I want to know. But yeah, so how do we know they're imbalanced?
So I'd like maybe let's back up a little bit to talk about some of the other hormones that are implicated.
Drop it low.
I haven't really discussed or mentioned these, but like GLP-1 and GIP are also hormones.
But in GLP, isn't that the Ozempic?
Yes. So
that's also a hormone.
The main reason that I mention it is that they're considered incretins is what class of hormones they're a part of. And so both GLP-1 and GIP, you know, they act by slowing digestion.
Right. That's why Ozempic is so effective. If you guys have not watched that episode, Ozempic Face, Ozempic Butt, that was last time.
Yeah, so Ozempic and Wegovy, as we talked about in a prior episode, they are GLP-1 agonists. So they will act like that hormone, where they will act on that hormone's receptor to enact that hormone's the message that hormone wanted to send. Whereas the medications like Mounjaro and Zepbound, they are both GLP-1 and GIP agonists. So they act like both of those hormones. There are two hormones that they're acting like, basically. And so those we obviously know that those have an impact on weight gain and weight loss. Right.
They make you disinterested in food, if it's just summing that up. That's what... Because, guys, I'll be honest, I'm probably 25 pounds overweight. I lost, I don't know, 65 pounds or so. Like, I don't think, I'm not associating weight with the number for my happiness. I just know what my optimal feeling is at a certain specific weight. It's been a very long time since COVID since I've done that, which that was talked about last episode. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times it's not just the fact that you're a certain number on the scale, it's that you feel a certain way.
Exactly.
You feel tired, you feel sluggish, you've got brain fog.
Down. Like, I feel like the weight, I can feel it heavier for me. It's harder to breathe. Like, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel it.
Yeah. So, those are some of the hormones that maybe are directly implicated in weight gain or weight loss or those cues. You know, we talked about cortisol, the stress hormone, and it can directly impact weight gain and weight loss. It tends to impact even, you know, especially for women, it impacts the abdominal fat storage. And it also impacts, you know, certain other activities. So it can impact your ability to feel motivated or to, you know, to want to participate in physical activity.
Am I allowed to be vain? Mm-hmm. All right. Do I have your permission?
For you to be vain?
Yeah. So, women listening, if you want a flatter stomach, get your cortisone hormone in check. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, it's a simplification, but yes, cortisol has a lot to do with that.
Got it. Okay.
And then we can, I mean, the sex hormones, there's an interconnection, I think, with all of it, which honestly we'll talk about more in detail on a future episode.
Yeah, about to say, let's talk about that. Yeah.
We're going to talk in depth because I feel like we could talk for hours about both female and male sex hormones.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, thyroid function is another thing that, and another reason why I mention, especially when we talked about the refactions, you know, someone talking about how hormones cannot impact your weight. If you have an autoimmune condition where your thyroid hormone or your thyroid gland is not producing enough thyroid hormone, your thyroid hormone is important in pretty much all bodily functions and all systems, and especially in metabolism. Mm. And so if you aren't producing enough thyroid hormone, you're going to gain weight. You're going to feel tired. You're going to have dry skin. You're going to have hair loss, constipation. There are a lot of things that you need to correct that level.
Is that PCOS? Is that like a dysfunction of the thyroid? Is that
no? So PCOS is something different. And PCOS, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it's kind of a chicken and the egg type of scenario. There's not a lot of understanding about necessarily the exact cause. There's thought to be a genetic predisposition, and then certain environmental factors are thought to bring out the phenotype or bring out the traits of PCOS. And so especially the world that we live in, this ultra-processed diet, sedentary lifestyle, weight gain, overweight and obesity.
Is it a world, or is that like, I feel like it's American culture,
really. It is, but it's spreading. I mean, it's spreading. There are a lot of different countries that are struggling with an obesity pandemic.
Yeah. But I mean, nothing like America, though.
No, I mean, we're definitely the front runners, I would say.
Right. Which we'll talk about again in a future episode. Any topics that we're glazing over, guys, if you are interested, please let us know. At this point, we are answering every single question. Suitsandscrubspodcast.com. There's a little section of our website, which is live right now. It says, ask a question. Ask us a question. We're happy to get into that. Well, one thing you said about the thyroid. Now, one thing I've know in my circle in conversation, you know, if you are having issues losing weight, the number one question that people ask is get your thyroid checked.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Is that true, and why?
Well, yeah, and we just kind of talked about, you know, how important the thyroid hormone is in all aspects of functioning, but metabolic function is huge. So your like basal metabolic rate, your metabolism, you know, it's definitely a huge hormone in weight management, among other things, but especially in women, I would say we tend to see it in older women, but I think just with our environment and the lifestyles and the direction that we're going in, we're seeing it a lot in younger women too. And especially if you have a genetic predisposition, if you have a long line of family members who've had thyroid disease, you're at higher risk. And it's a pretty easy test to order. A lot of doctors will order it on just annual physical labs if you have a family history. Some will just do it as a part of screening labs, which is not necessarily recommended, but if you have those symptoms, so if you have the unexplained weight gain, if you have the chronic fatigue, if you have the dry skin, the hair loss, the constipation, it's something that a lot of doctors will check.
Got it. So we laid the foundation of hormones. I'm not going to even pretend that I'm going to retain all that information, but it was really, really good. There are actually some nuggets in there that I did not know. So this is fascinating for me. And by the way, I probably ask you more questions in this episode. I go back to the beginning. This is like seriously one of the most interesting topics that I'm very interested in. And I know all of you guys are probably interested in as well. So one thing a lot of people do is get their hormones checked. And I just talked about like my primary care doctor rolled his eyes when I asked the question. What is that process? And what would you say if there is an imbalance? like how does it all work?
Yeah, so a lot of doctors will specifically check hormones if there are symptoms present.
And so they only check it if symptoms are present?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll kind of go into the why and the why not, a little bit of that, because honestly, I've been in that position before where I've had plenty of patients who say, I just want to get my hormones checked.
And did you really rise at them?
Internally, maybe not.
Oh, that's honest, y'all.
It's honest at the time because you're trained medicine in a certain way. You have so much time to see patients, and especially for some of these patients that are healthy, that don't have a lot of health problems, or you know, you're trying to just do a preventative visit to right. check those boxes off about, you know, the cancer screening tests, the things that have been, you know, have been clinically studied and, you know, statistically significant cancer screening tests that we really want to focus on during the preventative medicine visits. And so, and also it's a simplification. Like I want to get my hormones checked. And we just talked about like how complex the hormones can be and how many of them there are.
I did not know that there was that many hormones.
That it's, you know, we kind of have to get into, you got to ask more questions like, why do you want to get your hormones checked? What specific symptoms are you having? Which specific hormones do we need to be considering? And
well, for me, I think the number one question is I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't have energy. That probably is the number one question that's probably asked. And then I know our opinion on that because we talked about this, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we also, the way that we're trained, the way that we learn outpatient medicine and internal medicine and primary care is that you're trying to be cost efficient and you don't want to be ordering all these tests just for the sake of ordering tests, because what are you going to do with those tests and is it going to change management? So if you order all of these tests and you see that the testosterone level is normal but on the lower edge of normal, and you know your TSH or your thyroid function tests are normal, which a lot of times they are, like, how are you going to change your direction? How are you going to tell the patient what they need to be doing? Because a lot of times if those levels are abnormal, or if they aren't in balance, if you have higher levels of one that are causing imbalances, it's a lot about lifestyle change. And if I'm going to tell you about lifestyle change to begin with, why do I need to get you to pay for all of these expensive tests?
I understand.
To get the same outcome by doing the same things.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. And, you know, a lot of people, and I'm just going to be direct. A lot of people I know that are on hormones now are looking for a shortcut. And this is just my experience. I'm not dogging anyone, but they drink, they eat horribly, they don't exercise, they don't sleep. And so we're big believers in functional medicine and food is medicine and all the right components to be in body harmony, I call it. Mm-hmm. What's your response to that?
I think, yes, we are huge proponents of that, but I think we also know how difficult it can be to follow all of those lifestyle recommendations, depending on your situation and your stress level and your job and your access to resources. So I think it's kind of a complex question and answer and that.
You know, it's funny, guys. So I'm looking at the camera for this. This is important. 3 years ago, me and Emily talked about starting a wellness center. We're very big believers. I believe in like body harmony. It doesn't mean weight loss. It doesn't, but those are just numbers. It's about being a better version of you, healthy, that sort of thing. And Emily was absolutely like this, with hormones. And since she has left primary care and she has ingrained herself into functional medicine, I've seen a huge change in her attitude around hormones and just lifestyle. So it's interesting that your position is this when it was a little bit differently 3 years ago.
I don't think it's necessarily changed at all, to be honest. Like,
I stand corrected. I feel like it has, because in the past, like, we would bring it up and she would be like, it was not a friendly conversation.
No, it wasn't that it wasn't a friendly conversation. It's that I don't necessarily believe in this trend that you should be getting exogenous hormones, like
what's exogenous,
like testosterone and estrogen. Like I'm not saying that I don't think that there's a place for it, because I think there's a place for it, but I don't think that young, especially I have these young patients that come in that are in their 20s or 30s or early 40s that are like, I'm tired and I feel like I'm, you know, I have fat in certain areas that I don't want it to be in. I want to build muscle and I want to start testosterone, thinking that it's the magic bullet to getting energy and building muscle, which at first it probably
feel like it is.
At first it probably feels that way. And I think, you know, having appropriate testosterone levels is important, but there are always risks whenever you go the pharmaceutical route. If you're going more of a functional medicine lifestyle route where you're naturally boosting those hormones and you're taking things away that are impacting the signaling or the sending of messages that those hormones are supposed to relay, then you're probably going to feel a lot better. Whereas if you're taking, there are a lot of risks to taking those medications. You know, taking testosterone, if you aren't technically deficient in testosterone, it increases your red blood cell mass. And so it can make you more prone to clots, and clots can be devastating and can be fatal for some people. You know, if you're a younger male who's still trying to have children, exogenous or like taking outside testosterone hormones can impact your fertility, can cause acne, obviously can cause some like some mood changes and some aggression for some people. You know, it can cause enlargement of your prostate. It can cause hair loss. If you have existing prostate cancer, it can grow that prostate cancer faster. And so there are obviously risks involved in testosterone, right, as there are risks involved in estrogen and progesterone therapy, right, as well.
Right. But maybe we put a pin in the sex hormones, because I know that's not the topic of this episode. Mm-hmm. It's my fault for taking us down that rabbit hole. But again, if you guys are interested in this, like, we could spend the next 3 hours talking about it.
Yeah.
But let's get back to, so we talked about hormone imbalance and getting that tested, and you are, I feel a resistance of asking my doctor based upon his response, and he's a really cool guy. Be honest. And so, when you get these tests back and there is an imbalance, we're big believers of naturalists. We're naturalists here. We are naturalists here at Suits and Scrubs Podcast. We mm-hmm. believe that we want to do things the natural way. That's our whole brand. That's what we represent. That's who we are. So what is some ways that you can do this naturally?
Yeah. And I will say too, you know, a lot of times we'll order some of those hormone levels. And even if you have some of those symptoms, so we'll order the thyroid function test. And typically it's just a TSH, a thyroid stimulating hormone. It's not a full thyroid panel, which there are some functional medicine specialists that feel strongly about getting a full hormone panel. So not only getting your thyroid stimulating hormone, but also your free T4 and your free T3 and your TPO antibodies.
I don't even know what those are, but I'm just going to imagine that they're in the thyroid.
So your TSH is the hormone that your pituitary produces. So that gland that's close, that's kind of within your brain or close to your brain. Mm-hmm. And it stimulates the thyroid gland to produce thyroid hormone. So the actual hormones that the thyroid produce are the T3 and T4. And the T3 is the active form of thyroid hormone. So that's the actual hormone that enacts activity. And I feel like I'm getting a little bit too much into the detail. Yeah,
it's a little, I'm smiling at her, guys, because I feel like it's a lot.
But there, I say this because a lot of times in traditional medicine, in mainstream medicine, getting a TSH, if the TSH is normal, it means that your feedback mechanism is acting normally, your thyroid function must be normal. But a lot of functional medicine providers will say, well, you need to get the antibody testing. And the antibody testing is for, because the main cause of thyroid disease is an autoimmune condition where basically your body starts to attack your thyroid gland, thinking it's a foreign invader. Mm. And so over time, T tissue dies off and you're not producing as much thyroid hormone.
And does that contribute to like weight gain?
Yes. So if you're not producing enough thyroid hormone, then you have potential for weight gain and slowed metabolism.
How hormones impact your weight. That's the whole title
of
this episode.
And that's only one of them. I mean,
so that's interesting though. But yeah, so you know, for the listeners out there, I mean, we went into some rabbit holes today.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really the core of today. So if you are out there and you believe you're exercising, you're getting enough sleep, calories in, calories out,
mm-hmm.
you're doing everything that's just, you know, the basic things, and you're still not losing weight, you get your hormones checked, they come back normal, ask the questions to go further.
Well, and this is the thing too. So if you're going to a traditional primary care provider, they're not going
right.
to order a slew of testing. And some of that I can understand, but I think the younger patients that we have today, they want to know more. They want to know why.
They do.
And so that's part of the problem that I have with a lot of patients is that, you know, I would try to educate, like, these are the lifestyle changes that you need to make. And you don't necessarily need to order all of these tests because these tests, they're probably going to come back normal anyway. And it's not going to change what you're doing. I'm still going to recommend that you do the same thing. But sometimes those patients want to know specifically, this is what's going on. And so, and that will prompt them to make that change or that life. Like they want to know the information. Right. They want to know the specifics.
Right. Well, I'm going to flip it on its head a little bit, you know, and what I believe is don't go to like, this is a wealth mentality. Don't go to your financial advisor and trust them blindly.
Yeah.
Like and trust your doctor blindly. And
which so, I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying to go to your doctor and not trust your doctor because they don't want to order all of these intensive tests.
Right.
But at the same time, so I, as I mentioned, there are certain symptoms where we would like definitely order estrogen levels or testosterone levels for females if they had, you know, signs of PCOS or infertility or so if they had like abnormal hair growth or abnormal periods or unexplained weight gain or, you know, hormonal acne, there are certain things that would make doctors order those specific type of tests. But I would say there are some other tests out there, which I don't know a whole lot about. And I'm learning a little bit more about because I am trying to do this functional medicine certification just to try to better serve my patients. And there are things called the Dutch test. So there are urine tests that you can get that will not only measure your hormones, but it will give you kind of a pattern throughout the day of how those hormones are changing, increasing, decreasing, interacting with each other, you know, what your proportions of one hormone to another would be. And so to me, those are probably going to be more effective to give you data on how your hormones are functioning rather than doing just the typical serum blood test that you would get at your primary care. Because at your primary care, they haven't been trained in it.
Right.
And they also, most of those tests are probably going to come back normal because it's not necessarily that the circulating level is not normal. It's that the action on the tissues is what's impacted or it's that the balance that's abnormal.
Yeah. And so if I just summarize all of that, that was a lot of information. So we are against just standard hormone testing. We're not against it. We're saying that lifestyle choices will get the same results. And more than likely, your tests are going to be normal for a certain bracket of age. If you're not satisfied with that and you feel like you are gaining weight unexplained, there are very specific tests that you should order or you should ask. Your primary care doctor probably isn't the best, but you can ask the question. I'm sure they can probably do it. However, me and Emily are very passionate about this, and we are not going to go live yet. Eventually, we will have a virtual platform called Nuova Vita Wellness. It's been baking. It's been like a 9-month baby.
It was marinating in the hormones now.
It was marinating, and so with, you know, I don't want to go to a tangent on that, but really quickly, I will say we thought about buying a practice. We thought about starting a wellness center, and then this is where we landed. So we paused that to do this because we want to know what you guys think and what's interest. So getting back to the specific tests, mm-hmm. and our wellness center will do this. What specific tests do you recommend to your patients based upon today's episode?
So it'll really depend on the patient and obviously.
It's not obvious.
Male or female, okay. or what their life situation, what their age. I think you still have to be kind of judicious with ordering these tests. Like, you don't want to just order anything and everything, because testing can be expensive. And if we can figure out what's going on without getting all of these expensive tests and improve symptoms and improve lifestyle, then that's the goal. But I think part of the problem too with primary care is that you're seeing a lot of patients who are insurance-based, especially like Medicaid or Medicare, and they're just not going to cover the cost of certain things. And some of these people don't have the money to pay for some of these tests.
Right.
And a lot of the people that want all of this extensive hormone testing, you know, thankfully some of them are in good positions to where they can pay for this testing,
right.
but a lot of people are not in that position. And so right. I don't want to demonize traditional primary care providers
right.
for not
right.
ordering all of these expensive tests.
Because this is important, but I don't mean to cut you off, but like they've been looking for very specific things that people can order for tests.
Yeah.
What are those very specific things that you recommend?
So, and I mentioned it, the thyroid function test,
okay.
whether or not you want to do the full extensive testing.
Thyroid function tests.
So it's like the TSH is what most mm-hmm. primary care doctors will order. Functional medicine specialists will recommend that you get the TSH, which is the hormone that comes from the pituitary. They'll also recommend that you get a free T3 and a free T4, which are the two hormones that come from your actual thyroid gland.
Can you say a thyroid test? They'll know exactly what you're talking about. You have to ask those.
You'll have to ask for the okay. specifics.
So on the screen here, we'll probably summarize this.
Yeah.
So people have a call to action. Okay, so that's three.
The thyroid antibodies. So there are tests.
That's four.
There are two tests that specifically check for antibodies that would be an indicator of some sort of autoimmune disease against the thyroid gland.
Got it.
Which means that your thyroid hormones might initially be normal now, but I guess it would be an indicator that we need to continue to check these in the future just to make sure that, because there are signs of autoimmune attack of the thyroid, we just want to make sure your thyroid hormones remain normal.
Got it. Okay. That's four.
Sex hormone binding globulin is another one, which I'm not even going to go into that, but that's something that a lot of, we can talk about in a later episode.
Yeah, for sure. That's five.
For women, if you are having symptoms of PCOS, if you're having issues with your period, if you have painful fibroids, if you're having more hormonal issues, hormonal acne, sometimes it's important to check things like the estrogen and the testosterone.
So that's six. So the sex organs.
Yeah. So the sex hormones.
Right.
And depending on if it's infertility issues or abnormal period, sometimes we'll check the FSH and the LH. So those hormones, kind of like the upstream hormones that impact our estrogen and progesterone levels.
So that's seven. And where is that housed, by the way? What organ produces that hormone?
The LH and the FSH are produced, again, by the pituitary, which is
okay.
that gland.
Maybe you said that earlier. But
yeah. So you've got the GnRH is produced by the hypothalamus, which then stimulates production of LH and FSH from the pituitary gland,
okay.
which then stimulates production of estrogen and progesterone from the ovaries.
Got it. Okay. But that's for a woman base. But that's seven
yeah.
tests. What else?
Is
that it? For weight?
Cortisol is another.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Big one.
Eight.
And this is definitely another test that we get asked a lot in primary care to order.
Okay.
Getting a fasting cortisol level is probably not going to tell you a whole lot unless
okay.
you have like legitimate cortisol issues. So
what does that mean?
I when I say that, I mean, like if I'm talking about medical issues that can create like pathologic cortisol production, it would be like a tumor in your pituitary gland or a tumor in your adrenal gland.
Isn't the pituitary gland, I know I'm breaking this up, this is dry information, so I'm putting a lot of stories in this. Isn't the pituitary gland, isn't that one that like you have giantism?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because my mom be watching, this is Karen, this is Betty, this is Laurie. we named Mercarians after our moms. Mom, if you are watching, she would tell me I am 6'6", 6'7", 6'7", with cowboy boots on. And she always told me every time she sees me, oh my gosh, you're so much taller. You got to check your pituitary gland.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Excess growth hormone. Yeah.
So I just fun fact. So we were on 7 tests.
Yeah. So cortisol, salivary cortisol, or these like Dutch tests can sometimes, I guess, give you more information.
Is this 8 Dutch test?
I've lost count, but
I think this is 8 Dutch test.
But a lot of times this Dutch test, if you do the full Dutch test, it checks everything. I think there's like a, maybe
meaning all the other,
all of these different hormones that I'm talking about.
And guys,
about.
We will summarize this on the screen. We'll put some more information. In fact, we're going to have some resources on our website. So Emily can actually summarize this a little bit more. This is a lot of information. Again, I'm super excited about this episode. I know I keep interrupting you, but you know, my girl will go off, you know, and I'm not an MD, so I don't know what's going on. So I want to like slow it down a little bit. So we will. So go to SusanScrubsPodcast.com. And if you are having issues losing weight and you think you got to do everything right first, guys, diet, exercise, sleep, come on. Don't get, in my opinion, and you stop me if I'm wrong, from what I've learned today, you probably shouldn't get a hormone test if you're not doing the right things anyway.
Well, some people don't know that they're not doing the right things. And so maybe it's a...
People know if they're drinking too much. People know if they're not eating healthy. People know if they're sedentary and not moving their bodies.
Yeah.
But if they are exercising, you know, getting enough sleep and just still not losing weight, and doing everything right, and these are the tests that you're going to recommend.
Yeah, and so we'll go into, I mean, the point of today's episode was to talk more about the things that you can actually change and the lifestyle changes that you can act to that will not only, and it's not necessarily, as I mentioned, the levels of the hormones. So all of your hormones might still, in the blood, might still technically be in that normal reference range if you get the blood test. They might not be if you get the Dutch test, which is part of the reason why a lot of functional medicine providers will order these urine tests or these more extensive or salivary tests to check not only the hormone levels, but kind of how they interact with each other or how they balance with each other. So I think it's important to talk about what you can be doing because I think it can save you money in the long run.
Right. So this is the natural ways of how you can balance your hormone health.
So if you're feeling a certain way, if you're having a hard time losing weight, if you're feeling really sluggish, if you're having abnormal periods, you know, these are obviously...
What about the men? You always leave the men out.
Well, if for men, so if you're having...
We're not having periods, honey.
If you're having erectile dysfunction or you have low sex drive you're having brain fog or fatigue and you think that your testosterone level might be low, you know... You get your testosterone checked, you get a morning testosterone level checked at your primary care's office, and they're like, oh, everything's within the normal reference range. So there's nothing I can give you, nothing I can do for you. Or you'll go to one of these T clinics and they'll be like, well, technically you're in the normal reference range, but you're on the lower half. So we're going to start providing you testosterone supplementation, which comes with its own risks. And so these, I think, are ways that we can at least get you started, and hopefully a lot of people will feel a lot better and won't need to go to that point where they need to take hormones.
Yeah. But what is the natural hormones? Way? Sorry, you haven't really explained that.
So there are a lot of different things. You know, food is definitely the biggest.
Food is medicine.
Food is medicine. And we're living in a climate, we're living in an environment where ultra-processed foods are the mainstay of our diet, which is horrible.
Right.
And so going back to the basics, eating a whole foods diet is important. Avoiding simple sugars, avoiding sugar sweetened beverages.
Don't you have something about this?
I do. And we can talk about the gut. We're going to talk about the gut microbiome too.
Right.
It's important.
So again, go to SusanScrubsPodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Food is medicine. We have a free resource of how you can absolutely reset your gut microbiome, mm-hmm. which will then help balance your hormones naturally.
It can.
It can.
And So eating a whole foods diet, you know, getting away from the sedentary lifestyle, whether that means doing dedicated exercise or just being more active and, you know, getting more steps in a day. Those are the biggest pillars, but also limiting those toxins or environmental exposures. And so we're learning more about plastics and heavy metal exposure and how this can impact our hormones, kind of getting the message relayed that they need to get relayed. And so trying to avoid exposure to pesticides. That's another example. So buying
pesticides are always in our food.
Yeah. Buying organic, especially with those Dirty Dozen, which are the, you know, the Environmental Working Group has a list of foods that even after washing and peeling and preparing still have high levels of pesticides that you're ingesting.
Is pesticides one of the most damaging, I would imagine, to your hormones?
Say, you know, pesticides, plastics, heavy metals, those are big ones. And so it's important to avoid those. I mean, you can't get to the point, I mean, we live in a normal world. Like you can't get to the point where you're afraid to go outside or you're afraid to buy anything.
Right.
Because we're not meant to live forever. There are going to be certain things that, that negatively impact us.
Right.
And that's kind of where the gut microbiome comes in too, because they've done studies that show that if you have a certain balance in your microbiome, if you have a varied microbiome, then it can actually help to block the absorption of some of those harmful chemicals and toxins.
I did not know that.
Into your body. And so,
and we did a whole episode of the gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. So this term is new to you guys, and y'all are just now knowing who we are, whether through our short or TikTok, Instagram. Yeah. We actually have a full episode dedicated to the gut microbiome, which we did previously.
Yeah. And that's why
we scratched the surface.
I feel like it really starts in the gut. Like you've really got to get your gut microbiome in check. And a lot of that has to do with cutting out bad things and introducing good things, the whole food diet, eating lots of, you know, natural high fiber foods, eating foods with probiotics, you know, the avoidance of alcohol. Alcohol is a big one that contributes to weight gain in a lot of ways. So obviously alcohol has empty calories. Alcohol also increases estrogen levels. So it negatively impacts your microbiome. So it, you know, if you're cutting back on alcohol, that can certainly help with weight loss efforts. And then avoiding going back.
Which, by the way, guys, if you are tuning in, this is a recorded date night. Emily and I are
drinking some wine.
We are drinking some wine. And this is, you know,
everything in moderation.
Right, everything in moderation. And our podcast is our recorded date night.
So that's something that, at least minimizing the amount of alcohol that you're drinking and drinking alcohol that's maybe lower in sugar content, because there are a lot of cocktails and a lot of alcohol that has a lot of added extra calories.
Right. And a lot of things you're saying, I would say they kind of more fall to the common sense. Move
for
more.
For some people, yeah.
Whole foods, moderation of the things that we love. I'm a Southern boy. I love fried chicken, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese. I would eat that every single day of my life if I could. That's probably why I'm 25 pounds overweight. It is my absolute comfort food. But, you know, we believe, listen, I know we talk about food as medicine. Me and Emily have a major sweet tooth. She baked a whole tray of brownies last week. And guys, we crushed them in 2 days. So we do that, but we also, you know, I've been high intensity training for like 6 times this week.
Yeah.
I ran 40 miles in January. You know, it's all about balance. And
that's part of the reason why we're probably having such a hard time losing weight, because we've been trying to lose the same 10, 15, 20 pounds.
Yep.
And it's all about
that's adulthood.
Yeah, it's all about consistency, and we don't do all the right things,
but do as I say,
not as I do.
Right. No, but I think like we are healthy. We do things in moderation. This week, you know, I did see a friend. I did go out. I had one shot and 2 beers, and I decided that I was starving because I had this intermittent fasting thing. I'm doing a 6-hour window. I went to Cookout, and I crushed Cookout. That probably wasn't good. And I woke up and felt guilty, and I ate a whole tray of Chick-fil-A minis, right? It was 10, 15.
Well, that's the other thing to mention about alcohol, too. As we all know, it decreases your inhibitions. So you tend to eat more, especially if you're at a party and there are a lot of snacks out. And then the next day you've got the hangover and you don't feel like you don't feel motivated. Right. You don't feel like eating healthy. And so there are a lot of things that come with alcohol that
It makes me hungry.
Yeah.
No, it really does. Like, I feel like alcohol, I don't know if this is true to everyone, alcohol makes me want to eat all the bad things, all the fried foods, everything. And that's my biggest issue. Well, I know we talk about hormones, surprising hormones and weight loss. We did not really touch on the sex hormones a lot. I know this episode is kind of running long. Do you want to just summarize the sex hormones as it relates to weight loss and then maybe some final thoughts from that from today's?
Well, we can talk about them more. I really do think that it's going to take a whole episode to really get into the specifics about how it impacts not only weight, but other chronic symptoms that a lot of people suffer from. Ghrelin that I'd mentioned earlier.
Hansel and ghrelin, guys, that comes from the stomach.
There are different levels in when you compare men to women, and men and women respond to ghrelin differently. And sometimes it depends on how, you know, your estrogen levels, your sex hormone levels. And so that, I think that's very interesting. And it probably will tell us a little bit more about where kind of like the period cravings come from or the, you know, for women. But I will say the other big takeaway from today's podcast that we didn't really mention was cortisol. And with cortisol, stress management is key. There are so many things that you can do to manage stress. We live in a world where stress is constant. And so you really, I mean, that is something that you really have to address if you want to lose weight. And so whether it's mindful meditation or yoga or certain exercise that you know, stress management techniques that really help to keep that work-life balance in check.
Or doing things you love, like drawing, coloring.
Yeah, or and community. Karaoke. Community is so important.
Yeah.
Relationships with other people. And that kind of ties into the oxytocin, too.
Oxytocin.
We didn't really talk about that much in today's episode.
Is oxytocin a hormone?
Yes.
And guys, I do know oxytocin. I'm going to see if I can impress my wife. Are you watching? So oxytocin, like when you have a baby literally can die if they do not have oxytocin. And when you get oxytocin, you lay it on your skin-to-skin contact. Is that true? Baby can die without oxytocin?
Well,
I read that somewhere.
Oxytocin is it's a hormone that the mother produces that causes the contractions, uterine contractions. It's also kind of the hormone that we feel, you know, it is considered the love hormone. And the bonding.
So when you do illicit drugs, is oxytocin like more prevalent?
I mean, that's, I would say, probably more dopamine, but it's the bonding
hormone. Dopamine's a
hormone?
Well,
dopamine is technically a neurotransmitter, but it can also act as a hormone.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that. Jesus.
So, I mean, an oxytocin is kind of like that bonding hormone, like when spouses, you know, are physically intimate, they, you know, they release oxytocin.
Right.
Or just that companionship and certain activities and relationships with other people can help to promote the increase in oxytocin. And the reason why I mention it, which I will just briefly talk about, because I know we are kind of going off topic this whole podcast and talking about a lot of different things, but oxytocin is a point of research right now, specifically for weight management and weight loss. They're obviously doing a lot of both animal and human studies to see if it's effective, to see if there are potential side effects, but it's a hormone that we're seeing that can decrease fat mass without necessarily decreasing lean mass. And potentially in some studies, it's shown to increase lean mass, so increase muscle mass, which I only mentioned to say, I'm not saying everybody should be shooting up oxytocin.
How do you shoot up oxytocin?
I'm just saying finding oxytocin on the black market. I don't even know if that's a thing, but I'm saying relationships and stimulating that in a natural way. We've really got to get back to the basics.
Basic, yeah.
Stop being so obsessed with work and being so stressed out all the time and forgetting what's truly important in life.
That's true.
Relationships, you know, there's a lot that I think we're not focusing on that we should.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So that was a lot, guys, in today's episode. And so hormones, Emily is the hormone and gut doctor. So these are the areas that we will be focusing on and talking about. We'll more than likely cut specific parts of today's episode based upon interest. So if you guys are listening and there's something that she said that you really want to dive into, let us know. You are going to drive what we talk about in the future. We're passionate about that. So we learned about hormones. We learned about how hormones impact health and weight gain, weight loss. We talked about what tests can be required or asked of your primary care or functional medicine doctor if you are doing all the right things, you're still not losing weight. And we also talked about how to improve hormones from a healthy perspective, like how do you do it naturally. So we talked about quite a bit. My head is spinning a little bit. Anything else you want to say?
I guess the main takeaway is eat a healthy diet. Eat a diet rich in whole foods. Avoid processed foods. Avoid simple sugars. Eat healthy fats. Exercise regularly. Get enough sleep. That's one thing that we didn't mention is not enough sleep can also increase ghrelin level. So if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to have a higher appetite.
Get hungry.
Manage stress. And avoid environmental toxins. Mm. Those are the big things.
Which are already in your ebook.
Yeah, I talk a lot about that. The gut microbiome is, I think, a huge kind of cornerstone in just health in general. Right. And so I think starting there is a good place to start, really. Yes, if you're overwhelmed and you don't know where to start, I think at least improving the gut and following those guidelines can.
I would say if you are overwhelmed, you should hit subscribe, like, or follow, because we are going to talk about this stuff every single week.
Yes. And I will be talking more specifically about hormones, sex hormones and steroid hormones. We're actually going to a conference in Miami. And so I will have some kind of updated information and be able to talk more about that just within the next few weeks. But our next wealth episode is going to be more... I mean, it's going to be relevant.
Emily is our new MC, y'all. She's still in my thunder and still in my clothes.
I will. But I'm giving a little snack about what our next episode is going to be about because I'm going to be MCing for that.
Is it a snack or dessert? Because we already had the main course and about every single side you can think about with hormones. So this is definitely the dessert.
This is the dessert with the cherry on top. We're going to be talking about specifically how you invest and... In a couple's I guess view of things. So premarital investments, what you should be doing. I'm assuming we're gonna be talking about prenups and
right. So just to simplify or to summarize, financially ever after. You want your forever after, but what about your financially ever after? What to do before I say I do? We'll get into that next time. So I'm your host. I'm Zachary SVP. A little health.
A little wealth.
And a lot of love. Bye, guys.
Until next time.
He's on the hustle. She's on the grind. There's no time to kill. For saving lives and new deadlines. And there's some holes to fill. With a little health and a little wealth and a lot of love, that's a life that we live. Susan Scruggs.
Take two. The information provided in this podcast episode is for educational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is not meant to replace the guidance of your healthcare provider or other qualified health professionals. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have read, heard, or seen in this podcast episode. Remember, individual responses to health and nutrition interventions can vary, and what works for one person may not work for another. It's crucial to consult with a qualified healthcare professional for personalized advice based on your specific health needs and circumstances.